The Right to Question is supported in part by the Paul Allen Family Foundation, by Humanities Montana, and by listeners like you.
What's the crow word for horse?
Crow word for horse is ejida, ejida. And the word for elk is ejidigasha, ejidigasha. And so that's an offshoot of that. And then we get into the origin of the horse and so on and so forth.
Welcome to The Right Question, a program that features writers from the Western U.S. I'm Cherie Newman talking with Henry Realbird about his collection of poetry titled Wolf Teeth. You were Montana's Poet Laureate for 2 years, and during the summer of 2010, you rode horseback, I think it was 415 miles.
415 miles, yeah.
Distributing books of poetry, one of your collections. And you started on the Fort Berthold Reservation in North Dakota and then rode across northern Montana to Rocky Boy. What is the significance of that route?
The significance of the ride, the personal aspect of it is I'm a Crow Indian, a Psaroga, and my sister tribe is Hidatsa, Awasha, Earth Lodge people. And so I started out in the Earth Lodge, I prayed in the Earth Lodge, and then jumped on my horse and rode with my brothers and sisters, the Hidatsa, along the Missouri. And then my grandpa, he's from there. I mean, we have relatives there. And so to be around my people and to ride the trails that my grandfather rode, Absaroga moved away from the Hidatsa before the coming of the horse. And so then it's important for me to go through Fort Buford and that country on the Missouri, the mouth of the Yellowstone, Elk River. And my grandfather, he was... They killed their parents on a keelboat, and then they drifted on down, and then they could speak Crow, and so they sent them over with the Hidatsa, and the Hidatsa brought them back. And so I wanted to be where my grandfather was, and to be a horseback doing all of this, and then I don't have no all the computers and everything else. I just went by the sun and the moon and everything else, and ate berries along the way, and then. The poetry that I wrote out in the hills, out in Busby, Montana, Gary Owen, Montana, Croydon Reservation over there, Croydon, Montana, to be able to see all of this beauty of Mother Earth and to write it down and then to be a horseback and then to hand that out to an individual over at Nashua, Montana, or Culbertson, and going all the way up into Dodson and Malta and all them places. I mean, like, it's Siberia of Montana to where the politicians don't even go over there. No, they go over there too, you know. But it's a tough country, and so that's where I am too. Where I'm at, there's nobody except the fishermen going over to the Tongue River. I see them a lot and everything, but big name entertainers don't go over there or anything like that. And so that's why I wanted to go see those people. Yeah.
And when you were out there writing and you would see somebody and you'd hand them a book of poetry, what was their response to that?
They didn't expect it.
Right.
They didn't expect Johnny Appleseed to come around with books, you know. And so that was the motive behind it, was to surprise them that anybody can do it. Anybody can dream and write and then to be blessed with beautiful thoughts and then to wander around. And so... These two boys and their dad, they came over to pick up parts, I don't know where, over when we were at the mouth of the Milk River. I think that's over at Nashua there. And I was eating in the cafe and my horsey was tied up out there. And I talked with them a little bit because there was nothing out there, you know. And so they were about 30 miles to the north, I mean, towards the Canadian line there. And so they were out there. And these two young boys, must have been about eighth grade and sophomore or somewhere around there, to be working on a farm. And they were just like me when I was young. I was stacking hay and caring for cattle and helping fence and stuff like that. And so I went up to them and I said, here, you read this when you get home. And they looked at me and they said, what are you doing? I said, well, this is who I am and this is what I'm doing. And they were just laughing and they were happy, you know. And so that was one of the best ones. I slept under the stars and stuff like that, you know. And so I just, to be in tune mm-hmm. with the movement of the earth type of thing, even though I'm just going right alongside the road, you know. Yeah. Right.
Well, I'd like you to read a poem in your new collection, which is called The Horse. Because horses have always been a big part of your life.
Yeah, the horses, this one here is, this is a long one. In the work, I try to put the history in to where when I leave, they can look at it and say, this is where the horse comes from and so on and so forth.
And what it means to
yeah, and
your
what it,
people.
Yeah, and what it means yeah. to be able to talk with a horse. I mean, like I'm talking to horses every day, and you get to the point to where you can trust a horse, and you get to the point to where you can get a horse to be around people, and I do that. Plus, I raise bucking horses too, so I'm in both ends of the spectrum there. Okay, this one here: days that are good, thoughts that are good. Talk that is good, we want you to use to give people hearts that are good. We want to use the four winds that are good, the ground that is for. In good, we want to keep going through to be people for winter's many, said my grandfather, owns painted horse, as we rode across the Little Bighorn. But of course, a horse is a horse, and here we are, imitating the feelings that seem so far from today's dealings, and yet here we are. That, I think that's what he was talking about. We're lucky to be here, of course. You see, I am a half-breed. My body's there are two, drinking the same waters as Will James, riding Brunks with Casey Tibbs to see the sunrise and the sunset where Custer never did, to wave my bid from out of the Little Bighorn. Buffalo bulls swoop me up with a horn to meet a woman of corn in a dream of trance, not by chance. It was from here that Grandfather Owens Painted Horse reached into the sound of the water to bless me with the first rays of sun as he told me how life had begun, when silence was and not a word, there was nothing but black air and shadow of the dark night. This was when feelings were, but not words, still, quiet. My grandfather heard the sound of the sun coming up from between the sky and the ground. It is there, the sound of the sun and ground, but someone has to hear these sounds of where life is from. Life is from the sun. Life is from water, ground, and wind. We are a people of mud, using thought from the shadow of a flame, not only for gain. Now, in being a cowboy, I was raised to be by my grandfather Owens Painted Horse and grandmother everything she joins. They taught me everything they knew from their winters of snow. The horse was a gift from the water through a prayer to carry the load that was once carried by the dog. Travoy, I am told, stone footprints of time are tracks through my mind from the Little Bighorn when silence was not a word. Shortly thereafter, was it a million years or over the weekend in laughter? Then silence was a word and gone was before. Yes, gone was before. After explosion from beyond the stars back in time, old man coyote howled past reflection deep into shadow. Life was made of water, wind, and ground. Thought from the shadow of the ground, said my grandfather, Owens Painted Horse. We are mud people. The ground is your mother, as we lived along the water, roamed the hills and became mountain people. Teepee rings left behind are a sign where our fires have been. Chief Mountain, soon let my tooth grow that I know where our fires have been, where our fires have been in search of a life from a dream in a prayer. Wolf pups before they can see know not what to be and given away by their cries. Little mud children to the wolf den go to bring the wolf pups. Wolf travoy to carry loads from winter all the time. The horse was a gift from the water through a prayer to carry the load. That is right, what I've been told. At one time, a long time ago, after when silence was and not a word, the horse was a gift from the water, adrift and from water. Old Man Coyote brought back the earth that you see now. This is the first coming of the horse. Time moved on. Life left Mother Earth. When life returned, Old Man Coyote remade everything as it should be. Clay houses they live in, these people who own horses. Thought from way, way back beyond silence towards now, as they gathered the best of men from among the mountain people, the children of the large-beak bird, the crow. I have heard that they put together the best of men, like birds of a feather. Through the dream, they were told by a man from the past, when you get to the clay houses, their man that is good, their chief, whose hair will be light, he is the one to kill, for if you kill him, the rest of the people who live in the clay houses will be helpless. But don't be careless. The horses, all of them, bring them back to carry the load now carried by the wolf, I am told, for there is more of what I never knew, yet forgot. My grandfather's gone now. On the other side he is. As he talked of where we're from, there was nothing. For a while, the thought and dream of talk was a bridge. See that bridge on the Wolf Teeth Mountains? Thought is like a cloud. You can see through shadow to see nothing. But you can see shadow when it touches something like that cloud's shadow touching the Wolf Teeth Mountains. When the clouds touch the mountain's top or where it is high, the wind is good. When you're among the clouds, in a rain, blurred ground, you are close to he who first did everything, said my grandfather, owns Painted Horse.
You've been listening to Henry Realbird read from Wolf Teeth, his latest collection of poetry. This is The Right Question. I'm Cherie Newman. We'll continue our conversation right after a short break. In the meantime, check out our blog at mtpr.org/twq. Your poem titled Horse Waiting sounds like song lyrics to me. Did you write it that way?
Yeah, Horse Waiting is a song, and it's about the first time that I was cowboying out there, and I can still hear the jingling of the bell mare and the dawn coming in with a rope waiting out there.
Is that one you can sing for us now?
Yeah, I can. This is over on Tallaght Creek, and Tallaght is between Rosebud Creek and the Little Bighorn, and drains into the Yellowstone. And so it's over in Bighorn County. But I'll sing parts of it. But just like sitting in a subway, going to work, and you have time to think. But in that case, you've got somebody's hind pockets right next to your face. No,
right.
You've got somebody in your clothes, and you're rubbing against. And he hates somebody's cologne and perfume and everything else. But out there, it's just beautiful. Beautiful. And so the hunters and the hikers and rock climbers, and I mean, that's the thrill that's what keeps them going. But horse waiting, I was a-thinking along, listening to the wind way up high. The wind's blown and rushing, it's a whisper run through the pines. My feelings are blown and rushing, they're a whisper run through my mind. I've often thought of how it would be if I'd have stayed. Never wanted to be, never want to be. Thought whispering wind, never want to be free like me. So many lives I could have lived, but I chose this here cowboy life, caring for cows out in the hills, righting my wrongs out in the hills. Wait, oh, hey, yo, wait, yo, hey, yo, wait, oh, hey, yo, wait, yo, hey, yo. Well, I saw the sun shine today as it came through the trees, and you were a thousand miles away, and I am not at my ease. Oh, how I wish you were here so that I can hang on to you, show you that I really care for you. Wait, hey, yo, wait, yo, hey, yo, wait, hey, yo, wait, yo, hey, yo, wait, hey, yo, wait, yo, hey, yo. That's how that one goes. I'll just sing the first verse type, you know. But, you know, I've got these scars on my face and from not thinking. And my grandpa would always say that if you're crazy, you'll be walking. And me, I walked from Billings, Montana into Tijuana and back and hitchhiked back in the old days. I rodeoed and everything else. But I've often thought of how it would be if I would have just stayed and worked at the gas station at the teepee service station in Croydon, Montana, and brushed my teeth and combed my hair and went to church and talked about the weather after church. But I chose not to. And so yet I'm an old man now and still dragging my saddle out to my pony and getting on and still waiting for horses to come in. And this life that I've been able to live, to be out in the silence of the hills, waiting for cattle to turn or horses to turn, is a beautiful feeling, you know. So where do you want to go now?
I would like you to choose a poem to read.
Okay. This is a short one here that I'm going to do here, but to not lose sight of your dream. And I've been an advocate of freedom and democracy on the reservation when we're being ripped off and everything else. And I've I've overthrown the corruption. And then the corruption just changed drivers and take off without me. No. and then I dropped out of society for 4 years, from 82 until 86, just writing and dreaming and going back to the, but I had cattle. And so that's all I did was take care of the cattle and everything. But I just enjoy different parts of Mother Earth as we go through the time.
Did you stop being around people because, as you mentioned before, it was just too painful? You kind of had to gather into yourself?
Yeah, the corruption.
Yeah.
The corruption, when the energy companies were coming in and ripping us off, and then there were the sellout Indians, they were selling the riverbed of the Bighorn River.
Mm-hmm.
And so... So fighting and to keep the Fort Laramie Treaty intact, and then those sellout Indians were ripping it apart, and we're the primary water rights holder on the reservation from the Fort Laramie Treaty. And those sellout Indians, they gave that away to the state of Montana. I know we all have to live together, and I've come to that realization. And so it took a part of me, but I voted against that, and I put some flyers out, and so I'm still active in that way, but I'm not in the front carrying everything anymore.
It sounds like you were advocating for a long-term future in the relationship with the land.
Yeah.
That is an important resource to keep people alive instead of making some quick money.
Yeah. But, yeah. Preserve our privileges, mm-hmm. to maintain the privileges that were given to us.
For the water and...
Yeah, and everything. And even... the acid rain we were fighting, and then in some of the poetry I don't know where it is there, but on open pit mining and then reclamation and stuff and all of the work that we have done, now that we have open pit mines over at Decker, and then they've refurbished the land to where we've got windmills there again, and then there's cattle grazing and horses and deer and everything, and so we've done a lot. But we still need to clean up the air, they talk. I mean, but it's so much money into everything that we do, it's just amazing. I'm not kidding. But anyway.
So back to poetry.
Yeah, and this one here. I better put my. I can stand next to a rattlesnake and not even know it because I'm deaf and blind. But I'm lucky to be alive, you know. And I always say that I should have died when I was stuck to a wild horse, you know. But I'm still here, so I get to do all these things. Today I saw the near full moon, the daytime star, emerge by its side shortly after the sun stole the pink and the blue as I was riding home in front of a soft, gentle night. When I rode through the pines, they were drenched in heavy dew. This is what I asked for from Grandmother Moon when she shows us her moisture rings, rainbow rouge announce blurred ground among the fog and close to he who first did everything. My heart is good as I ride through these pines that drink water from above, the most sacred of all waters upon Mother Earth. Bless my horse and me as I think of you. Last night the moon was bright as day when I saw a feeling headed my way, then stopped. That's how that one goes.
And what was the name of that one?
This one's Moon of Ice on Teepee, and that's February somewhere around there, to where the moisture comes back in, and then the snow in the heat, and just it doesn't do it any other time of the year. And so then that's when we have icicles on the horses and the cattle. And so So probably, more ice on the teepee, probably. More ice on the house, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. But this is to be able to see all of this, yeah. I enjoy life.
You've taught, but you've also had a part in producing some books for children, right?
Oh, yeah. They had me as a principal, but I want to be a teacher, and so I just walked out. And I was shoveling manure at the racetrack in the sky. But I'd been putting together flannel board stories at a preschool on the reservation, you know, Head Start. And so dreaming. Now, you're a chalk right now, or you're a bottle right now. This is who you are, and just playing with the kids and doing all these flannel board stories and then turned them into little books. I drew everything and I left, and this woman took it, and she took it over to Northwest Regional Educational Laboratory, and they had been gathering Indian stories for about 5 years and more. But they didn't know how to put it together. And so back in those days, we were heavy into language experience approach to the teaching of reading. And so that's where my mind was. I mean, the experiences of the individual sitting in the classroom, not of the milkman in Chicago or whatever, you know.
That are in the picture books that are put out by the Department of Education, you mean?
Yeah.
We are out of time, but is there anything that you want the audience to know about you, about the Crow people, about where you live?
Oh, for us, the ultimate of a traditional Crow Indian is mysticism, and mysticism is still alive there, and it's alive anywhere. And so to be able to dream And to trace your life where you're from is important to know who you are. I always think of talk as sacred, and that's what they tell you. And it's not about who knows more or anything. I don't know anything, and I know that to begin with, and so then I'm easy to get along with. And so then the sacred part of life we have. And so whoever wants to join that sacred part of life is the option is there too. And so we have all these Germans that come over and they do the sun dance, and then we have all these Englishmen that come over and they want to be cowboys, and we deal with everybody on the reservation. And it's just to be able to taste the sweetness of Mother Earth is the best part of life that I can think of, yeah.
Henry Railbird is a rancher and educator who raises bucking horses on Yellow Leggins Creek in the Wolf Teeth Mountains. There's more information about him at our blog, which you'll find at mtpr.org/twq. Also there, a link to audio in case you want to listen again or share this program with a friend, and links to the Right Questions podcast and Facebook page. Thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Cherie Newman, wishing you a pile of fascinating books and lots of questions.
The Right Question is produced by Cherie Newman, with help from Barbara Thoreau and Kim Anderson. Michael Marsalek, executive producer. Beth Ann Austin, studio engineer. Music for this program was written and performed by John Floridis. The Right Question has a Facebook page, a blog, and a podcast. You'll find links to all that at mtpr.org/twq. Thanks for listening and for supporting this program.